And in our study of Jeremiah, God, Israel is pushing God to the limit, as it were, and God is going to allow a horror show for them. God's just going to let it go. And that's what it's going to be. So now, in the light of that, Jeremiah is, as we've been reading in chapter 7, God has been trying to reach Israel, Judah, Jerusalem, Israel. And in the process, they have failed to honor God. They use the temple for their headquarters, and they had idols, altars in the temple from the idolatry. They had, and then Josiah took them out, but then probably they've got back in. And then you've got all the other stuff in the temple itself, on the walls and everything. So you've got a very, very idolatrous exercise of Israel in the temple. That's God's place. And thus the people, if it's in the temple, then you know it's in the street. And so therefore, here in chapter 7, remember God had commanded them, verse 23, "But this thing I commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, hear and heed. Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you." Now, we shared together that in the process, Israel is full throttle into idolatry, and going to even be a little more so. And in the process of that, they are including God. They haven't excluded God. It's, after all, it's his temple, even though they're abusing it, and they are doing what they do because they want to do it. But they do want to go, as we read in chapter 7, in verse 21, you're going to go and have burnt offerings, you're going to go and have sacrifices, you're going to have your ritual and your religious activity. You're going to make sure you include God. And we share together that's one of the age-old problems, is that we want to have God. We want to do what we want to do. And since we're God-conscious, since God makes us that, all human beings, what they do with that consciousness is something else. Romans 1. But in the process of that consciousness, so we need to involve God. So we have all of our activity, recipes to feed ourselves on, prescriptions to heal ourselves, as it were. And we have all of them. And we want to make sure that in just to have it, we want to make sure we have a little bit of God. And that would be like taking a recipe, as we shared, a mixture. We take our desire, our plans, and everything. And we want to make sure we add a little food coloring. We want to add a little flavor, a little mint leaf or something. Why? Because we don't want to be without God. The food coloring didn't change one bit of our recipe. The food coloring didn't change anything of what we want, think, and do. But it gave us a measure of relationship in the back of our mind that somewhere tomorrow all of it is going to have to be accounted for in the light of reality. So therefore, we want a little bit of God. After all, we're Israelites, make believe here. And we want to make sure God's there. And we can't get rid of him, so we're going to make sure he's honored. And we do that. And they do that. People do that today. We have churches and everything. And then we want to make sure there's a little bit of God in the whole process. And that's not the way to go, of course. And when you do that, that is actually not going to come out good at all. So here in chapter 7, you're looking at that. It isn't going to come out. It's going to come out terrible, that approach, to be able to say, well, we'll have a God, we're going to trust, give a little prayer over here, and we're going to sanctify what we're going to do. We're going to do what we're going to do anyway, and God, we're going to look to you to bless it. Now, Jeremiah chapter 7, we read in verse 23 that I will be, obey my voice, I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. Walk ye in all my ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. So you want to go and honor me in all your ways, in everything you do. And in doing so, when you do so, looking if you're looking to God, trusting God, then you're going to have a relationship. And when you have a relationship, the relationship is very profitable and very personal relationship. And so here's the word, little word, well. It may be well with you, the verb, to shine, to be beautiful, to make for good, to receive good, to make it go well with you, personal, very personal. I'll be your God, and you'll be my people. Now, having said that, and so then we have to ask ourselves, what were they doing? Well, who and what were they trusting? Who and what were they depending on? It wasn't God. The food coloring doesn't make the recipe good. The food coloring doesn't give you any nourishment. It's just for coloring, just for appearance, just for show. So we aren't expecting God to do anything of any substance, actually. And that's proven in all the context as we've been reading it. Now, so having said that, it may be well with you. That's very personal. Very personal. And for our good. For their good. For their well-being. But you know, they just didn't see it. They just didn't see it. God was too small a part of their life, of their thinking, of their recipe. Too small. Now, in order to get that, so you could see it in one shot, very simply, over, if you would, coming back here, over to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. And in Psalm 23, picking up, please, you will note it's very personal. And it starts all personal. So David was a man that sought after God. True? In fact, that's why David ended up on the top. Because God found a man who was after his own heart. And 1 Samuel 16 and all of that. And all the brothers of Jesse, the sons of Jesse, the brothers of David. And David's on the bottom of the pile, but David, remember, is picked, not because of anything, just because he had a heart for God. And God was looking at the heart. That's what God wants. And if you seek me all over the place, if you seek me with what? If you seek me with all of your heart, what will you do? You'll find me. That's the deal. You put me in the right place, I'm right here to be found. Okay? Now, what are they missing out on? What are they missing out on? Jeremiah isn't, but most of the people aren't getting any of it. So I'm just going to look at it without getting, why would I give this up? The Lord is my shepherd. That's very personal. And I never need to want, worry, or wonder. I never need to do that. I don't need to do that. Why? Because he's the shepherd. And the shepherd is responsible for taking care of the sheep. The sheep are generally, of all the animals, very stupid animals. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned what? Everyone to his own way. So sheep are stupid, and they just need a lot of help. And if someone's there and not helping them, they're in trouble. And so he's the shepherd, and he makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside still waters, quiet, tranquil. God can make it wonderfully wonderful for you. And he does that. And he restoreth my soul so that I get refreshed. You get depleted, but get refreshed. And he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God does that. And he leads the believing heart. And that's all. What do you want when you're going down the corridor of time? Don't you want? How do you want it to come out? I don't know how you want it to come out. When you go down, you're going to live the rest of the week, perhaps. When you go down the corridor the rest of the week, assuming you get to the end, what are you hoping? You're hoping it isn't bad? You're hoping somehow things will work out, best of looking at your schedule and everything. But when you're all done looking at it, you have no idea you're even going to come close to your schedule. You don't even know if your schedule is going to happen. Come Friday, who knows, it may never occur. So, wow. So now you got to say, God, and I'm looking. So, God, I'm looking for you to make it to come out right. And who am I going to look to make it come out right? You could look to the government if you want. You could look to your work. You could look to your family. You could look to your own go to it and make it work, to make it work in your system. You could do that. But when you really think about it, you have a little confidence, else we would never do these things. But when you really think about it, I have really no way to be assured of tomorrow. I have no one that I could look to guarantee me 4 days from now. I don't have anyone. I don't know anyone on earth. Do you? Who do you know on earth 4 days from now? That knows 4 days from now, has any control, has any say in it. Only God does. So God, Israelite, the people in Judah and Jerusalem, they aren't going to look to you, but if they would seek you with all their heart, they would find you, and you would be a wonderful shepherd, personally to them. But they aren't doing that. And therefore, and in the process, you don't want to, we read verse 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures, still waters, that's wonderful, but there's the other side of the coin, that it doesn't matter what the conditions are. Like the Apostle Paul, Philippians 4, 11 and 12, whether it's easy or hard, much or little, terrible or wonderful, what difference does it make? I've learned how to be what? Content. I learned how to steady, so I don't get all riled up with a good day, a bad day. Not doing that. Learning to trust God. And thus, verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So I'm going to look to God, and in the thick and thin. And Israel, you could be doing that, but they aren't. Judah, Jerusalem, they aren't doing it. But you could do it. There's no reason you couldn't do it. And God offers it. I will be your God, and you will be my people, and I'll make it good for you. That's what he said to them. No one's listening. They could have. But they don't listen. Now, back over to Jeremiah, chapter 7. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 24. But remember now, they were going to be negative and not positive. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear. In other words, they weren't going to hear, and the word hearken to obey in verse 23. They hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels of their imagination, of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. So they they could have, remember in verse 23, if you go and in obey my voice, and I'll be a God, and you should be my people, and walk ye in all thy ways that I have commanded you. And I'm going to be with you. I'm the shepherd. But when it comes to verse 24, they did not heed, hear any of that. And the word imagination, it's used, noun, and every time it's used, always, always means, imagination means stubbornness, being very stubborn, obstinate, stubborn, set. And thus you have their the counsels and their imagination of their evil heart. They were stubbornly set, unrepentant, hard-hearted, very, very stubborn, knit together, to be firm, hard. That's what they had an evil heart, a firm, stubborn heart. And to boot, they went backwards and not forwards. They were going backwards. God saved them. They headed backwards. God tried to get them forward to grow. It'd be a silly illustration, but it'd be like you going backwards. And here you've advanced in some measure in time, and to go backwards. And I'm going to take away your ability to count, to read, to drive. I'm going to take it all away from you. I'm going to remove everything that you can do backwards when you couldn't do it. Now, why would you do that? Why would you want to do that? God had brought them so far, and they want to, they're going backwards. What on earth going backwards for? Now, so having said that, going backwards, and they are, and once you start going backwards, if you don't catch it, and you'll see in a minute, if you don't catch it, it becomes a lousy habit. And it's much easier to go backwards than it is forward. You want to go forward, as you know, over the last 100 years or so. You want to go forward to the point that you can't go backwards. That's the key. You want to go forward to the point that you will not and you cannot in your heart go backwards. It won't happen. You can't do it. You've gone too far. And you can't go backwards. You have to go that far. And that's very good, but you got to get that far. So now, having said that, they're going backwards. And one little thing, hold your finger right here just to catch it. In Hebrews 10, just to add a half a thought to it. Hebrews chapter 10. And picking up, if I can, Hebrews 10, may I go directly to, verse 35, a little better context. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Why? For you have need of patience, bearing up under the load, that after you have done, you're doing, you're seeking to stay on course, he leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. After you have done the will of God, not you're going to do it, after you did it, you're trusting God. Trust God right now, boom. And you're doing it. You might receive the promise, but yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry, so there's no delay, no appointment times missing, everything's on schedule. Now the just, the righteous, shall live by faith. If any man draw back, because remember, going forward, looking for his coming, looking for God to outwork all of his wonderful plan in our life, he that hath begun a good work in us, we're looking for that to be finished. And verse 38, now the just shall live by faith. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. So we don't want to go backwards. We want to go forwards. and no matter what. And when you find yourself stuck in a stalemate, seemingly with God, what to do is go down on your knees and stay there. But don't turn around and walk out the door before God. Get down there and stay in that ground. Don't move an inch. The only place you're going to move is get up and forward. No backwards. Not going to let it happen. I'm going to back off. I'm going to back off on this, back off on that, back whatever. Down. And then you'll have to pray the prayer of the Father. God, I'm not believing you. I'm not trusting you. Help thou my what? Help thou my unbelief. God. And that'll help you. If you don't do that, guaranteed, our human nature is very, very consistent. So now, having said that and keeping that in mind, we don't want to draw back. We want to go forwards. Now, over if you would please, back over to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 7. Now in verse 25. Now remember, they're going backwards, not forwards. Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt, unto this day, I have even sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. So since the Exodus, I took you out of Egypt. And since I've taken you out of Egypt, I can't get Egypt out of you. I took you out of Egypt, but I can't get Egypt out of you. It's still in you. It won't go away. You still want all the benefits of the world system instead of the wonderful benefits of the living and only God. And there they are. So now, since I've taken you out, I sent unto you my servants, the prophets. And remember now, you have the same expression. See in verse 25, daily rising up early and sending them. Rising up early daily. And go over with me, please, if I can, in verse 13. And now because you have done all these works, saith the Lord, and I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking. And the rising up early, and that's little words together, all together. And when you put those words together, what's it saying? So you can see it. It's used, remember we said of a camel, here you are in your caravan, and you're traveling from India or somewhere to Israel or through Israel, and you have your camels all lined up, and what you do is you get up early in the morning, very early. You arise early and pack up all the animals, get everything ready to go, so you have an early, quick start. As fast as possible, get on the road, get on the move. We need to do something today, we need to say it today, do it today, and down we're going to go. Early, and the wording, the verb, persistent, consistent, insistent. Pushing it. That's what the word means. And you won't catch it when you look at it, but that's the meaning. And thus, in verse 25, the end of the verse, rising, daily rising up early, and sending them. So, early, I did that. And I have been trying to tell you something for a long time. You can't go forward very long and arrive at where you need to be if you keep thinking of going backwards. If you're thinking of Egypt, you're thinking of your agenda, you're thinking of we could have had all of this in Egypt, we could have had all of this over here, we could have had all of this over there, and you're looking at everything and everyone for a solution, for a substitute, for a savior, for some way for success, instead of God. Instead of God. Wow. God said it won't work. It doesn't work. And I've been trying to tell you that because we just read in verse 25, since the day you left Egypt, you have been going backwards while I'm trying to send you forward. And I sent you forward anyway because I have a promise I made to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob to fulfill the Messiah, the Christ, coming from the tribe of Judah to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. And all that has to happen. So guys, either get with it and come wonderfully with me or don't come with me and be in trouble. But it's going to go forward. You want to go backwards, but it has to go forward. Here, using a different illustration. We would like to see, some of us would, a lot of people, we would like to see a return to a better economic, educational, governmental, political, government, education, society, morality, and everything. We'd like to see all of that go back. But when we went back, when you go backwards, you realize that the ingredient that was missing yesterday, that would have kept it going today, was missing. With missions, churches, schools, it was missing. That's what happened in the 60s and thereafter. All of us got infected. And we never get rid of the infection. Never get rid of it. We're just sailing down. We weren't correcting. We were glad to have gas at some price and a reasonable society. And we were glad, but we weren't paying attention that we should have been You remember, liberty isn't free, it costs something. And if you don't pay attention, you'll lose it. You'll plain old lose it. And we didn't pay attention. We didn't pay attention to what was happening. So now, here's Israel. And Israel is not going forward, they're going backwards. And in verse 26, yet they hearken not. Remember, God's trying to tell them all the time to go fix it. Fix it. Don't be satisfied that I'm doing good enough. If you were good enough, you would be doing gooder. Does that make sense? If you were healthy, you would always be going forward. There wouldn't even be a question in your mind if you were healthy. That's what you're going to do. So when we aren't going forward, then we need to be prodded to go forward, to keep growing and learning and going through. What you did yesterday was good, but you've got to do it all over again in a different way today. So in verse 26, yet they hearken not unto me, nor incline their ear, but harden their neck, and they did worse than their fathers. They should have done better, but they did worse. You'd think they'd want to get better, but they aren't getting any better. They've got worse than their fathers. And, verse 27, therefore shall thou speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken to thee, Jeremiah. He's telling Jeremiah. Remember Isaiah? Isaiah said, how successful will I be? Isaiah 6. And God said, you're going to be an utter failure in the world. You're going to have 40 years of ministry and nothing for it. Israel is going to go into captivity. That's your assignment. But what are we going to get? Going to have some good success so he can put something on the scorecard and look good? No. Jeremiah, verse 27, therefore shall thou speak all these words unto them, but, you're going to keep telling them, Jeremiah, but they will not hearken to thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee. They're not going to pay attention at all. They're not going to do that. So, Jeremiah, you have to understand that you're there, and you're to be a little light in the darkness. And that's what you're to be. So we live in what kind of a world system, not the material world, the world system. under the god of this world system. And that's a world that is of darkness. The rulers of that world are darkness. Men, society in that world loves darkness what? Rather than light. So if you're going to be a light, you have to understand, darkness isn't ready to gobble up your light. To put out your light. But not to take your light. So you have to set your little mind, your big mind, you have to set your mind. Hold it now. What's my assignment? To be a light. Ephesians 5:8. You are children of light. You are lights. Lights. Thy word is a lamp, what? Under my feet. I got your word, and I got your presence, and I'm supposed to honor it and stay with it in the light. I'm not going to let the darkness get me all loused up inside in my heart and head, so I lose my whole wonderment. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I want. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, darkness, gloom, thou art there. So God, I'm going to look. Oh, like Jeremiah, I want to understand that I have to understand if I'm going to be a believer and enjoy being a believer, enjoy the God who made it possible for me to be a believer, then I'm going to have to be aware of the fact that darkness is everywhere, and darkness is never going to be happy with me. And darkness isn't going to be happy with me. Therefore, I don't want to lose heart. I don't want to lose my heart in it. And I have a wonderful life, a relationship, life, L-I-F-E, a relationship to you, God. And I'm to exercise that. Now, death, the world doesn't have. Unsaved people don't have that. They're dead in trespasses and sin. So therefore, they're dead. Now, why would I want to yield to death? And a simple way I could give you that, I do have it right here. Do you know? Here. Why would I yield to that? Why would I yield to that? Now, you didn't get that one. If you go, when you pass a cemetery sometime, what to do if you have an extra minute or two and the gate's open? Is go and drive in the middle of it and get out of the car and walk up and down amidst the stones. And I want you to know that as you do that, you are threatened. They're all dead. Now, do you want to be dead like them? Then what you do is bring a shovel with you when you're in the cemetery, and you dig a little hole and go sit in it. You want to play dead? That's what you don't want to do. Because you're what? You're alive. What do you want to be dead for? I don't want to be dead. I'm in the world of dead people. God gave us life. So now, having said that a little bit, therefore, Jeremiah in verse 27, therefore shall thou speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken to thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee. So don't be upset with people. I try to help people. I care. I want to talk. That's all right. Just make sure you're doing it in the right way so you don't exhaust yourself trying to give something out that isn't ready to be taken in. And then you get all worn out. And then you quit. Oh, well, what's the sense? No, it only goes where darkness is interested in becoming light. And dead people are interested in becoming alive. Then you can be of some help. But you have to have some thirst, like Sunday, some interest. So now, in verse 28, but thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice, obeyeth not, is not hearing, obeyeth not the voice of the Lord, their God, nor receiveth in correction. No correction. Don't want to get corrected. Truth is perished. Truth. Faithfulness. God's faithfulness has disappeared. And a person's enjoyment of God's faithfulness has disappeared. And therefore, their faithfulness to God is diminished and disappears because they have no source where your faithfulness to God has to rest down on God's faithfulness. You want to sustain that. You've got to have a foundation to support what, who you are and what you're doing. And without that foundation, you're trying to do it all by your lonesome out here, and it isn't going to, you can't do it. It won't last long. Just a little while and you get discouraged, etc. No, you can't do that. You've got to make sure that you're resting down upon God and His wonderful faithfulness. And here in verse 27, the end of the, verse 28, the end, truth or faithfulness is perished. It's all gone. And is cut off from their mouth. That means, to say it another way, that it's cut off, it's gone from their mouth, from their lips. There's no more playing God Christian. We don't pretend anymore. We're out and out doing what we do, period. No more pretending, no more hypocrite, no more cover-up niceties. We're just, boom, going to go and do what we do. Now, and God, you're trying to help them get there because that's, you have to get there to see it. If you're trying to be neutral, does God have a neutral? I'm trying to think. God said, Matthew 6 and 12, you're either for me or neutral. Remember that? You're either for me or against me. There is no neutral. Again, church in Laodicea, the end of the age. I would that you were, Revelation 3, 15, 16. I would that you were hot or what? Cold, not warm. It's an abominable thing. You have nothing. The more you can see you're my enemy, the better you'll get saved. When you think you're neutral, I can just sort of slip along and you aren't going to come, it isn't going to come out good. So now having said that, half a cent's worth, would you go with me, please? Oh, over if you would, in Isaiah and chapter 55 for a moment. Isaiah 55. And you would recall our little start we started with, verse 6, seek ye the Lord, while, what? He may be found. Call upon him while he is near. He can't get nearer than he is now. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So we need to quit our mixing the recipes up, and we need to get the recipe as it is. So again, just to remind you, I brought out one of Jeanette's recipe books. And I don't know what you'll see way back there. But, you know, for you ladies, this is salad. I knew you'd like this. Guys, you need something better than that. No question. Swordfish with Creole relish. There. If you want that recipe, you have to what? Follow it. You can't go and read this and read this and read this and you're mixing. You want this recipe, you do it just like it says. And don't put anything in it. Just say, well, this is how I feel. This is how I feel about, what am I going to see here? A teaspoon of vegetable oil. Well, I actually like vegetable oil, so I'm going to have a quart of vegetable oil. That's me. That's me adding to that.
I have to stick to the recipe. I don't want to mix it up with one lousy thought in my head. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Boom! I don't care how I feel or anything, how anyone feels anywhere in the whole world. I just want to pay attention to the recipe in order to get the picture. You're in the presence of God. God honors His word right in front of you, I hope. God knows exactly what He said when He said it originally, does He not? God knows exactly what it is right now. God is going to honor what He said. Isn't that what you want? When you read, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," or any of that, isn't that what you're looking for God to honor what He said? When you believe the promises of God, aren't you looking for God to honor what He said? I don't know. What are you doing? And if you're looking for God to honor it, then God, you honor it based on your giving of it, your understanding of it, no matter how anything is loused up in the minds of people about what it says. God, it isn't loused up with you. And I'm looking for you to fulfill that. Period. And that's your safety in there. Well, so I don't know what this said. Hold it. What does God mean by it? That's what you want. And you're trusting that even if you can exegete it and pull it apart in 500 pieces. When you're all done with the 500 pieces, you put them all back together and say, "God, here it is. I don't know how to make that fulfill its wonderful meaning. Thy word is a seed, quick, living, powerful, able to go and produce in the heart like a garden. To produce, like all the recipe, you put it all in, and the recipe comes out. That's the way it is. But when you go, and you're going to go, and say, "Well, I don't know," and you have a debate, what do you have any debate for? Would you have a debate with God? That's what I'd say. All right, stand up and debate Him. And if someone wants to argue with God, go ahead, stand up, I'm listening. You tell Him. You tell God what you think. Go ahead. Give him a talking to. And when you're all done, God's going to be God, and He's going to say, He's already said what He said, He gave it to you, and He's going to honor what He said. The way He understands it, not the way you understand it, or I understand it, it's how He understands it. Isn't that what you're looking for? And then we, as carefully as possible, try to exegete the passage to get the import, the impact, of what He's saying to Jeremiah, because here we are. And we're looking for God to do it. And therefore, my thoughts and your thoughts, they're a whole heaven apart, infinitely apart. Wow. Just so big apart. And think of what is 100 million galaxies that they know. I don't know how you do that. 100 million galaxies and billions and billions of stars. And God names them all. And we look up at the stars in the sky, and it's very, very big. But you know all of those stars, and you know that you can take our average sun is, 93 million miles away? I don't know. I never measured it. 93 million miles? 93 million miles. Do you know there's all kinds of suns out there that if you put our sun in the middle of one of those suns, our Earth would be in the middle of the sun at 93 million miles away. At 93 million miles away, you put the sun, it would enclose the sun and our Earth in a great big ball. How's that for big? So when we look at God, we say, "Well, God has to be small." On the contrary, God, you are awful big. To make everything small, that's huge, and you're so big. You did that. That's right. So God, I'm going to look to you, and my thoughts, your thoughts and my thoughts, God, are two different things. So I'm not going to go when it comes to the recipe book, and I'm not going to go. I have your word.
I have your word. I'm going to honor it. That's all. I don't care what it says. I'm going to do it, understand it. God, I'm going for it. I don't intend to help you, God. You have to help me. And thus, I don't... Isn't that all right? And then you got something. It'll be well with you. I'll walk with you. I'll be your God. You'll be my person, my son, my child. Well, that's pretty good. And thus, you know... And so what are we going to do? We're going to sanctify... Well, why not? In closing, over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3 may be a help to us. 1 Peter 3. And you would know, what are we going to do? Thy word have I, Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hid in my heart. Mm-hmm. No. So I got the word. If my words abide in you and you abide in me, man, you just let my word be what it is and honor me and I'll do it. And God, how are we going to make sure, putting this a different window? Chapter 3, verse 14. But if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you. happy in the darkness doesn't love you. No, they don't. And dead people don't love you. No. Happy are you, and be not afraid of their terror, nor be troubled. Now, therefore, I want to do what? I want to make sure, and I'm exercising the recipe book, I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, looking, and I'm going to have to remember verse 15. Sanctify, set apart, separate the Lord God, where? In your heart. Make sure down in here you want mixing God up. God, think of having a throne. What can I tell you? A throne. That's inside of you. And God needs to sit on that. God needs to be sitting on that throne. So you want. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Of all the things in your heart and mind. And then here's the only seat. The executive branch of your heart. That's where he sits. And thus I got it, God. I got it. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason. How come you go like you do, think like you do, feel like you do, act like you do? Because of the hope that is in you. With meekness and fear. We're going to trust God. That's right, the hope. And what is the hope? What do you mean, what are you hoping? Where is your hope? Well, my hope is what? I hope it'll go good tomorrow. I hope it'll go good at the doctor's, lawyer, school, work, home, family, enemy. No, my hope is in the person of Jesus Christ. Christ in me. Christ in me. Christ in you. The hope. The wonderful hope of the glory of God. Christ, our hope, our glory. And you want to, you can question and challenge my lousiness 1,000 ways, but you can't challenge my God. You can't take away what God is to me and in me and through me. You can't take that away. You can't touch that. And neither can we in you. So we want to have that wonderful, so that we don't get afraid and troubled and wonder in the work and the conditions politically and school-wise and otherwise. Wow. No. Relax. Greater is he than one. 1 John 4:4. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And not hard. Just got to think right. Think right. Isn't that what you do with your work? Don't you think? when you read, don't you work, you must push buttons, do something. When you have smartphones, dead phones, you do something, don't you? You push buttons. You think. You don't just hold it up and push them all. Don't you go methodically and push them? That's what you do. Well, think what you're doing. And with God. And it works. That's all. The people of Israel are going to be, it's horrible. And God is personally going to sanction what's going to happen. That's what's awesome. Wow. Anyway, so perhaps you have a particular request as we go to prayer, and appreciate your patience and